School's out for summer, though that may seem less significant when your kids have already been home from school for months. With many camps and vacation plans on the scrap heap this year, keeping your kids' mental health and your own in check may take some extra work this summer. For some tips, I'm joined by Dr. Jenny Radesky. She's a developmental behavioral pediatrician and an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Michigan. Jenny, good to talk to you again.
You too. Thanks, Doug.
When we spoke in March, in-person classes had just ended for kids and we were adjusting to shutting everything down. What should parents be thinking about when it comes to their kids' well-being as we head into a couple of months of unrestricted time?
I think it's worth thinking about just how our own minds are doing. You know, to be honest, when you asked me to do this follow-up interview, I thought, I don't know what I can say. My brain is a scattered wasteland right now. So I think we need to understand that parents are feeling physically exhausted, mentally and emotionally depleted. You know, back when I talked to you in March, a lot of people had adrenaline. We were in problem-solving mode. And so I want parents to know it's really normal to right now be staring at this blank canvas of the summer and thinking, I just can't, like, I don't know what to do. So just take stock of your own emotional state, and it'll be much easier to not put too much pressure on yourself to try to plan the perfect summer.
We recently spoke with a graduating senior from Monroe, and she mentioned that a lot of her friends had been feeling down and really didn't have the motivation to do much of anything. What are the signs in kids that they might need extra attention or maybe extra help?
For some of these kids, they're showing more externalizing behavior. They're having more tantrums. And so I'm encouraging parents to give their children outlet for that energy. For kids who are internalizing and just getting sad, those are times where talking helps, but also giving opportunities to feel successful, to feel like you're contributing to the well-being of your community or your family. And if your first couple weeks of parenting responses, trying to be more emotionally sensitive and give your child new activities aren't working, then I'm recommending that families seek out more help. So seeking out help right now might be talking to a pediatrician, talking to friends and family to help give the child new activities, and it might mean getting a therapist when things are opening up a little bit.
The COVID-19 pandemic's clearly still with us, and those conversations are still happening. What can we do? What can't we? Are we going to take this summer trip we'd been looking forward to? Will we get sick? But there's also another serious conversation happening across the country about racism and police brutality. How should parents balance being honest with their kids without crossing the line that could lead to stress and anxiety for some children?
So it's really important that parents have honest conversations with their kids about racism, but do it in ways that understand the child's developmental stage. For younger kids, they may need to talk about day-to-day concrete examples of unfairness that they've seen and talk about how they handled it. Your teenager might be more open to conversations, and it's really worthwhile to sit down and watch some movies together, have them read some books or comic books that have different sorts of protagonists from different backgrounds.
Well, and along those lines, the COVID-19 conversation isn't cut and dry, but kids can understand hand washing and social distancing. But the conversation about the death of George Floyd and racism is so much more complex. I guess it's important to find places to anchor that.
Exactly. It's important to talk about it, but conversations or lectures are not going to be enough. Children learn so much more from storytelling or from watching characters that they really care about who may be from different backgrounds or may be experiencing their own forms of racial injustice. The other thing I'd say is that, and I'm speaking as a white mom of two white kids, we're not going to be very good teachers about racial injustice unless we ourselves are willing to open up our own lens. And opening our minds at a time where our minds might feel very closed and overwhelmed is just a challenge I hope parents are willing to face right now, because it will both model for our children that we're willing to be more flexible, empathic thinkers, but also it'll make us better teachers.
Jenny, Michigan is gradually reopening, and some people and families are more comfortable with certain activities than others. How do you navigate situations when your family's priorities don't line up with the families of your kids' friends.
Oh, this is so hard. I hope it doesn't become a new form of mommy wars, you know, of that we're very lax parents and other parents are very strict. It's worth just trying to decrease your judgment. Everybody has a different style of how much risk they're willing to assume, and having an open, you know, an honest conversation about it with your friends and the parents of your children's friends. The way I've been trying to talk about it with my kids is, what are the risks of doing this activity, but what are the benefits we get out of it? That may make some kids more comfortable with venturing out if they've been more anxious about being exposed. However, if you have a really impulsive kid who just wants to get out there and jump on the playground equipment and getting to the swimming pools, you'll also have to show them what some of our new norms and rules are.
Kids, like all of us, I guess, are always looking ahead, the next play date, the next birthday, the next holiday, some summer trip that's coming up. And as a parent, it's tough to keep saying, we don't know, we're not sure, we don't know what's going to happen with school in the fall. How do we manage expectations without crushing hopes this summer?
It may help to slowly increase your child's expectations of what they might be able to take part in. A few more play dates, a few more times that they might get to go to a swimming pool or be able to do one of their favorite activities. Give them that overarching guiding principle of, we are trying to keep this under control in our community. You know, we're trying to make sure that the doctors and the nurses at our hospitals aren't getting overwhelmed again. So if you have that overarching guiding principle of, we're doing this actually for really positive reasons, it may help children accept the uncertainty or accept the limits that they're facing right now.
That's Dr. Jenny Radesky. She's a developmental behavioral pediatrician and an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Michigan. Thanks a lot, and I hope you have a good summer.
Thanks so much, Doug. You too.
This is Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.